Welcome to Bitch Run, a horror movie podcast that reviews the good, the bad, and the bloody. I'm Larissa.
And I'm Tamara. And this is episode 18.
And we are going back in time today to 1984, at the wonderful time when the Children of the Corn reigned. That's right, we're reviewing the very first Children of the Corn movie, and FYI, there are 8 of them in total. And this one scored 35% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a little fun fact for you. Children of the Corn is based on the short story by Stephen King and follows a young couple that end up trapped in a remote town where a dangerous religious cult of children believe that everyone over the age of 18 must be killed. The film stars Peter Horton as Bert. I nearly said that name wrong. Not the Peter Horton part, just the Bert part, which should be very easy. Linda Hamilton as Vicky. She's also starred in a bunch of the Terminator movies. John Franklin as our cult leader, Isaac, and Courtney Gaines as Isaac's offsider, Malachi.
Amazing. Is this the first time you've seen this one?
This absolutely is. Like, I'd heard of Children of the Corn, but I really had no idea what it was about, or I just knew it was like one of those like old classic horror movies. Also had no idea there were 8 of them. So
yeah, there's cool. There's a few. There's a few. So we got this one
8 times.
I know. Especially when you see the ending. Anyway, we put this on the list because we actually shared it on stories a while ago and asked you guys if we should review it. And the answer was yes. So we popped her on. And
people what they
I
want.
Forgot. Yes. I forgot. I haven't seen this one for like since my like early teens, I reckon. So it was like a regular rental list of Video Easy for us. But yeah, I hadn't watched it. But I was super excited to revisit some like creepy church vibes with murderous kids. I was like, oh, nostalgic. And I think I saw the
nostalgic.
I remember when I was in a kid cult.
Do
you remember when I really used to watch this like nonstop and I thought it was the scariest fucking movie ever? And then I rewatched it and did I think that again? I don't know. Stay tuned. but we did see I saw the DVD at one of those like weird comic kind of, I shouldn't say weird. Okay, it was weird though. It was like secondhand comic shit. And the DVD was like $3. And I think I texted you and I was like, we should do this one. And then you're like, dunno. And then stories. And now we're doing it. It is a weird, weirdy one though. Should we chat about snacks first, bud?
We definitely should.
Really good ones. Oh, good. So it wasn't dinner this time.
Oh, look, it was, but it was a really good dinner.
Oh, amazing. Hit
me with your best snack. I'm using the theme song.
Stunning. It's a good one.
Look, I took this night as a massive treat yourself moment. Because I was home alone. Steve usually cooks our dinners. When I'm left unsupervised, sometimes I go a little bit wild. And I went to McDonald's and I got a nuggets meal with a sundae. And in that sundae, I got mini M&M's and Oreo. Ooh, this bitch means business.
What syrup did you get?
Chocolate.
Always chocolate. Oh, yeah, of course. Of course, yeah. That's a good end.
You know what? Checkmate, beat that.
I can't beat that. It is a competition. Now it's a competition. I just did microwave popcorn. The butter one.
The classic.
Bloody classic. Well, it's Children of the Corn, mate. I couldn't, like, not eat corn in some form or of another, you know, whatever. Had to. Cool. So should we start talking about murderous children or?
Yes. This seems like a great time for it.
Okay, let's do that then. Cool. So as Larissa mentioned, it's a Stephen King classic. I'm a huge Stephen King fan, like huge. I don't know if I've mentioned that before. Larissa, I don't even know if I've told you how much of a nut I am for it.
I don't think you have, which is surprising because I feel like we would have had this discussion.
I know. Well, I don't know if we've reviewed a Stephen King one before. I think we've got a couple on the list, but anyway, huge fan, massive fucking fan. So I think I've read, if not all, most of his books. My mum got me
and
into
not
them
read
at the right
a single one.
Really? Oh my
God. I don't really read books. And if I do, they're usually about celebrities. So unless the celebrity died in a Stephen King book. You haven't read Nicole Richie's book? It's good.
No, I have not. It's not really my vibe. we'll swap books. You can read some of mine. I'll read some of yours.
Yeah.
So I started reading them at the ripe old age of like 9 or 10, and I've been hooked ever since. So this is my mum's fault, by the way. She got me into this.
Thanks, mum.
Yeah, thanks, Mom. So Children of the Corn was a short story first. It was first published in 1977 in an issue of Penthouse. So you know it's a children's book because it's in a nude magazine. And then later published in the Stephen King collection of short stories, Night Shift. So, yeah, she's an oldie but a goodie. Just a quick note on the ending to the movie and the ending of the book are very, very different. So I feel like maybe we'll chat about this later. We'll chat about it later. Anyway, so we open with some creepy. Yeah, let's just circle back.
Just table this for later.
This is a fucking Zoom meeting. We're the worst. So we open this movie with some creepy music and Children of the Corn and thick red distress type on a black screen. We then fade into the town where the story takes place. It's Gatlin in Nebraska, and it's 3 years ago. We see that cute little church sign that tells us what this week's sermon is going to be about: corn drought and the Lord. So I was just like, the Lord as a whole. Yeah, like you got an hour, like just cram in the Lord plus corn drought. as the congregation is leaving the church, we hear the voiceover of the only kid in church, Job. I wrote it as Job, but it's Job. But I'm going to keep fucking reading it as Job.
We love Job.
He's explaining that the rest of the kids are with Isaac in the field and that he wasn't allowed to go because his dad didn't like Isaac. Let's just say that his dad has some pretty good instincts. Mm-hmm. As Job and his dad head to the diner for a milkshake after church, his dad calls his wife to check in on her and their sick daughter, Sarah, as our little boy looks around and notices Malachi and some of the other kids in the diner acting super creepy. We then see Isaac in his very on-trend black hat, like felt, wide-brimmed, stunning.
One of them the other day.
Yeah, it looked good. Wait, I saw the photo.
I'm trying to be a hat person.
Oh, hats
just
are fun.
Just a side note. Yeah, I really want to be a hat person. So,
Well, you just got to wear a hat, and you're a hat person.
Yeah, like, but if I wear hat and sunnies at the same time, usually I'm a sunnies person. If I wear hat and sunnies at the same time, mess with my hair. This has nothing to do with horror movies, so I'm going to pipe down.
Let's table this. Let's come back around to this later. So Isaac and his very trendy hat, they walk up to the diner window. Two other teen boys then enter. All of the kids nod at each other, and then the two new kids lock the door behind them. This is when the madness starts. So all of the adults that have been drinking coffee now start choking, and as they're struggling to breathe, the teens start cutting throats and stabbing all of the adults. So we're like 4 minutes into this movie, and we have a massacre already.
And I was like, this is not what I expected, because I didn't know what to expect, but I was like, this is great.
Yeah. This is why I was so scared when I first saw it. I was just like, this is scary. Like, so much murder.
Side note, the woman who was behind the counter who was serving the coffee, she looked like she was over 18.
Oh, mate. So does, like, but, I mean, the Isaac, so he's supposed to be under 18. This motherfucker was 24 when he paid this kid, and he looked 24, if not 34.
He looks like the girl that plays Orphan.
Kind of
creepy look, kind of like an oversea-y vibe too. Like, I don't know, she looks like a little bit Russian. I feel like he looks a little bit Russian too.
Yeah, well, maybe. I don't know. He doesn't seem like Nebraskan. Like, he doesn't seem like he's from Nebraska, but I don't know that many, so maybe he does. Yeah, it's weird, though, but she was putting, like, chick behind the counter doing the coffee, she was putting some white powder in the coffee before all this shit went down. But, yeah, she did not look super young, but this is movies in the 80s for you. Like, this is what happens. I guess it would be weird to kind of get a lot of kids to be like, hey, you guys are going to play a murderous motherfucker in this movie, you keen? Like, and then get their parents to sign off and shit.
I'd be like, yes, sign my child up.
Yeah. I mean, yes. Can I also have a bit part? Can I be the one that dies? Amazing. Meanwhile, Isaac's watching from outside as they place a man's hand into a meat slicer, and little Job watches as the teens cut his dad's throat with a sickle, and another boy continues to stab him with a meat cleaver. So pretty fucking heavy for this kid to watch, but he seems really well adjusted after, to be honest.
Oh, yeah. He seems cool about that.
I mean, he's had three years to get over it. Like, that's fine, I guess. We also hear his mum screaming on the other end of the phone that's been left dangling when the dad ran to help the other people getting murdered. We also saw the sick young girl, Sarah, in some sort of trance as she draws the murders that are currently taking place. A young boy voiceover from Job explains that this has happened all over Gatlin that day. So now that the adults in the diner are dead, the teens exit, leaving the young boy on his own, face splattered with blood, drinking his strawberry shake. It's quite a cute scene, but fucking sad. But it's a bit like, Cool. So the what the fuck, like, where do you go from here? Like, you've just killed the entire town of adults. As our opening credits roll, we get to see the sisters' disturbing drawings that show the multiple murders of each adult in town. We also see Isaac commending the kids to burn all technology and plant corn.
Also, weird. Good luck trying to find a kid that's going to burn their TV these days.
I know. Well, 80s, maybe they were like, maybe this is from the devil.
You ain't starting no corn cult now.
No, exactly. Yeah, exactly. They'd be Googling it. They'd be like, what the fuck is this? We also see a few sacrifice images, and the final drawing is of a yellow car at the front of a motel, which then fades into our present day scene. And I actually really like this cutaway. It was cool. That one from the drawing and then into the scene. Very cool. Very cool. We're now inside one of the rooms. Is our leading lady, Vicky, played by Terminator's Linda Hamilton. She's my fucking favorite. I fucking love the Terminator movies. One and two, the best. She's a fuck. She's amazing. I love her.
Sarah, what about Connor? The other 20 Terminator movies?
She's not in all of them. She's in the latest one, which I actually didn't mind.
I don't know how many there are. They're just going to be a lot.
Like, I'll watch them, but I'm not, like, one and two. Like, two, obviously, Eddie Furlong. That was my prime, like, Eddie Furlong posters on the wall day. So into it. But Linda Hamilton is just the fucking, I just love her. She's such a badass. Not in this, though. She's kind of annoying in this. Anyway. We'll get to it. She turns the lock on the do not disturb, creeps across the shag pile carpet, and then surprises her beau with a small surprise birthday cake. He blows out the candle and makes a wish, but our leading man Bert tells Vicky what his wish is: to live happily ever after. But any kid knows if you tell someone, right? Just fucking stupid as well. Also, like, because if you tell your wish, it doesn't fucking come true. You're an idiot. Yeah. I love how I'm saying, like, that's a fact. Like, that's just
everybody knows that. You don't tell anyone your birthday. Clearly, his has never come through. He keeps doing that. She should have been off.
Fool. She asks, is that a proposal? And he's all like, absolutely not. Like, that's he's not into it.
And FYI, she gives him a gift. It was nowhere near a proposal.
Like, not at all. Like, not even a little bit. She gives him his gift anyway, and it's a gold lighter that's been engraved with a pretty brilliant message. I actually like this. It says, for Burton Stanton, M.D.M.Y.D.Arling. So it's like, for Burton Stanton, MD, my darling, love Vicky. I really liked it. I thought it was quite clever. I was just like,
I thought it was cute when I figured out what it was. Because at first I was like, what the hell is he gifting him? Like, what is this, like, random little thing of gold?
Oh, really?
For the first little bit, I think till we actually used it, I didn't know what it was.
Oh, really? It's just like a fancy lighter. It's like, okay, we'll talk about lighters later. I'm going to text you some vintage lighters I have over there that I can't get up and get right now, and then I'll show you. But it's a lighter. He gets given a lighter. She also decides to serenade and dance for him to the tune of School Is Out by Gary U.S. Bonds, dressed in this baby pink satin dressing gown, which couldn't be more 80s if it tried. So he must have just graduated from school too. Otherwise, it's a really fucking shitty choice in birthday song. Like, I'm like, what's this?
I kind of felt like the song just, like, kept going. Like, I was like, okay.
Oh, my God. It didn't
we don't
stop.
Need and to she just kept like, the entire song.
Yeah, and doing that saucy, like, here's my shoulder, like, move, and then put the shoulder away, like, fucking righto. It's weird. So they're now on the road having just entered Nebraska, and it's also Stephen King's book Night Shift on the Dash, which I fucking loved. I was just like, yes. Because normally, like, Stephen King will make appearances in some of his movies or some of his novels turned movies, but he's not in this one that I saw, unless he got murdered and I didn't notice. Anyway, but his book is on the dash of the car, which I thought was pretty cool, and that's the book that has this short story in it. I don't know if you
cool.
remember. Yes,
I didn't even know the book, so.
I was like, what is that book? And then I was like, oh, fuck, it's the original cover of Night Shift that has Children of the Corn in it. We're now back in Gatlin, and one of the young boys, Joseph, is getting ready to run away from town. He promises to come back for Job and Sarah, but the kids are so scared of being left behind. Well, that's fair. Like, I feel like their fear is
quite young. Like,
right? They're babies. Yeah, they're itty-bitty babies. And Job just saw his, like, dad get fucking slaughtered, well, 3 years ago. But still, that's just sore.
That has lasting impressions.
Yeah, I would think that would be like burned into your retina. We also find out that the drawings are forbidden and the Littles have a banned record player because they like it. So these little Mavericks have gone against Isaac's will, and it's not really a good sign for these two kids. I'm a bit scared for them, to be honest. I'm just like, oh no. Joseph makes the kids promise not to tell anyone he's running away or they will burn on the lake of fire for all eternity. And I'm like, holy shit. That is a fucking threat and a half. Like, it's like very old or New Testament. I don't know which one is the horror novel version of it. But I was just like, fucking hell, that's like so intense for these kids. So Joseph goes to run. The kids yell, go now, nobody's looking. And they're like yelling this out. They're like, run. Yeah, I was like, smooth, guys. Smooth. So Joseph starts running through the cornfield to escape the murderous town of Gatlin as our leading adults, Bert and Vicky, are taking their back roads to where they need to go. As Vicky turns on the radio, they hear a lot of yelling from a stereotypical small town priest or pastor or preacher, I guess. Oh, it's fucking intense. It stresses me out. So he's talking about there's no room for fornicators, no room for homosexuals. And I was like, fucking hell. There's like no room for anyone. So that's cool. And then we then cut to our brave Joseph running through the corn until he hears something. He stops and we see blood splatter on his little runaway case. We're now back with Vicky and Bert. Just before they plow into our young Joseph, and he's standing in the middle of the road holding his cut throat. So he wasn't dead in the corn, but he's sure as fuck dead now. So I'm like, oh, poor little bastard. But did were you into that preacher yelling on the stereo? It was stressing me out so much. I was just like, oh my God.
I love hilarious. Anything. Like, just the yeah, over-the-top, insane, like, everything you do is wrong. Amen.
Yeah. Everyone's burning in hell. I was just like, far out, old mate. He was pretty, like, passionate. Yeah, he's a passionate guy. Passionate. Okay, so after they've hit this young boy, Bert then instructs Vicky to get back in the car because there's something very wrong here. I'm like, no shit. I know, right? I was like, he's so perceptive. He's so smart. He grabs a tire iron and blanket from the giant trunk. I forget how big the trunks are in these old cars. Like, they're huge.
Spacious. Can fit a body or two.
You can fit four children in here. He covers the boy with the blanket and goes into the corn to look for who did this to the boy. As he's a doctor, he can see that all of the damage wasn't done just by the car. I'm like, so could a fucking layman. Like, he has a slash throat. Like, he has a slash throat. Yeah, I'm an MD. This man has his throat slashed. I'm like, fuck, I'm a random. This man has had his throat slashed. That's pretty obvious. Bert finds Joseph's case covered in blood as Malachi approaches the car where Vicky is asleep. I'm like, how did she fall asleep?
I mean,
you just hit a kid.
Like hitting a child with your car, who the child has a slit throat, and your boyfriend has gone to the cornfield to find said person who slit the throat. I'd maybe be a little more alert.
Yeah, I feel like terrified. I'd be awake. Yeah. But no, she's pretty snoozy. She wakes to find that Bert's missing. As she calls his name and receives no answer, she goes over to the young boy and apologizes to his little covered body. But he's not dead. He sits up straight and reaches out for her as to kill her. But she's woken by Bert. 'Twas all but a dream.
I know. Honestly, it got me. I jumped the hell out of my seat.
Yeah, it was unexpected. So just this small bit's a dream. Like, they did run over this kid and kill a boy, so, but the bit where she woke up, that's fake. So Bert places the body into the trunk of the car and drives onto Gatlin as our creepy murderer watches on from the cornfields. We're now back in Gatlin with Job and Sarah as they're playing in their old family home, which is now forbidden. This is like the town of Footloose where everything's fucking forbidden, though. I'm just like, what can they do? It's like Footloose, but like with more killing.
Yeah, it sounds drab.
It does sound drab. The kids are sitting in their parents' fancy clothes, listening to the records and playing Monopoly. The kids are so fucking cute, though. Like, I really love these two. They're very cute. Very sassy, very cute. Job has a good idea to use the hat piece of Monopoly as Isaac and put him in jail. As his sister worries about him getting the get-out-of-jail-free card, he takes all the chance and community chess cards, tosses them into the air and says, what card? And they both laugh hysterically. It's pretty cute, though. Mid-laughter, a knife is thrown into the middle of the board game by the creepiest kid in town, Malachi. So, like, a bit cute for about a second, and then there's, like, a big fucking knife.
Yeah, also, like, that is the creepiest Monopoly. Name. Like,
totally Malachi?
Yeah.
Yeah, that is. That's the leader of a cult, faux show. Mm. Yeah. What kind of cute dog's name, though? Like, I'd be into it for a dog.
I don't know. It's too hard to spell. Like, one of those ones you really have to think about it and be like,
yeah, that's true.
I love Caramella.
No Fido.
No.
Oh, that's true. So the kids are brought to Isaac for punishment for being non-believers of he who walks behind the rose, or so they think. As Malachi shows Isaac one of the Sarah's drawings that show the yellow car 2 miles from Gatlin, Isaac sends him to the old man to remind him to say nothing. He's also instructed to take the kids back to the house, to which he responds, but they had a game and music. It's forbidden. And I was like, you
shut up, Malachi.
Nerd. I know. I'm like, shut your damn mouth, Malachi.
He was stitches get stitches.
Yeah. And he's like, but they had a game. Like, fucking shut up. Like, yeah, shut. You have a knife. You have a fucking knife. Like, you threw a knife in the middle of the game. The game's over. So we cut back to Bert and Vicky in the car as they're discussing what happened to the young boy. Our doctor points out that blood coagulates in 4 minutes and the blood on the suitcase was still fresh, so the killer must have still been around. They also decide to open the suitcase to see what's inside. They find some clothing and a crucifix made from corn. Very old.
Oh, so cute. I loved a little corn crucifix. Cute.
Yeah, it was a bit cute. The craft game here is pretty good in Gatlin. As they approach a gas station, we see an old man fixing a truck and his cute as shit black and white border collie dog with a yellow bandana helping him. His name is Sarge and he's the cutest. Also, we all know what the fuck happens to animals in horror movies. It is dirt. Bert gets out, and before he can ask to use his phone, our old friend says they don't have gas or diesel and no, they can't use the bathroom. When Bert can finally ask for the phone, old mate tells him to keep going, that he doesn't have a phone either. He said there ain't nothing in Gatlin but folks in their religion, and they probably don't have a phone either. I'm like, cool, man. As Bert and Vicky drive off, old mate's dog Sarge runs into the cornfield and someone grabs a tire iron from the truck that was being repaired.
No.
I know. So shit. As an odd daytime storm comes over the field, our old servo guy says that he never told them nothing, just like always. And he looks pretty shaken. Like, he looks pretty like, oh, fuck. For like a bunch of kids, he's pretty disturbed by them. He opens the bonnet of the car again and finds Sarge's yellow bandana covered in blood. It's very friggin' sad. I'm like, you fucking jerk, kids.
I hated these kids before. I hate them all now.
I know, but at least we didn't see them, like, hurt the dog, which is kind of good. But it's still, like, bloody bandana. Doesn't look good for little pup. So now old mate's mad, and he follows the sound, the sounds from in his servo thing with a crowbar in one hand and his mate's bloody bandana in the other. We now hear the typical Omen exorcist-esque music as a bunch of kids ready their weapons and prepare to fight. We have to imagine that our old man doesn't fare too well here. In the meantime, Bert and Vicky have been trying to drive to the nearest town that isn't Gatlin, but somehow got turned around, started driving through cornfields, and ended back up at the service station. I was just like, well, how the fuck did that happen? As Angry Bird decides that they're going to Gatlin now, he says, don't ever show up in my emergency room, buddy, as some sort of threat, and then heads off. But we then see that our old friend wouldn't be going to any emergency room anyway, as he's been murdered by children. Yes. Bye. As the adults head toward Gatlin, Isaac's giving a sermon in the middle of a cornfield. They have a huge crucifix made of corn and husks and what looks like a decomposing police officer body hanging in the middle of one. It's like a civil... Yeah, yes. It's like a civil servant Jesus.
Yeah. I just don't know, like, how on earth did this kid convince all these kids to follow him? Like, if that kid was like, let me take you back. If I was a kid and that kid came up to me and was like, yo, bitch, come join my cult. We're going to murder all the adults. I'd be like, piss off, you whiny little bastard. Like,
I'd be like, nah.
Not into it. He's like, also like, you know, you would think cult leader that would convince all of these other kids would be like this big kid who's like real intense. This kid looks like a dude.
But have a think about what our actual real life cult leaders look like as adults, and then they manage to get other adults to do what they say.
Yeah, I just feel like a kid with a simpler mind would just be like.
Well, I guess that's why Job and Sarah are like, fuck you, we're going to go play games and dress up as clothes
exactly,
and stuff.
Exactly, like, how would it
Well, you would be the Sarah or the Joby. You'd be like, this is a really shitty game. I'm going to go play over here. And then you'd have all those little nerds being like, maybe it was the craft that got them. They're like, fuck yeah, we get to craft. And they're like, yeah.
I do like corn, like, oh. So
yeah, I'd be like, is there a competition? Do I get to win stuff? And then I would do it. Well, to be honest, I wouldn't do that. because some kids don't do. So anyway, fuck, I'm so glad we solved that. As Isaac tells the story of them murdering Joseph and spilling his blood as a sacrifice to he who walks behind the rose, the kids aren't upset at all. He also says they need to sacrifice the Outlanders who are on their way. So this is our Bert and Vicky. They are Outlanders or Interlopers, which I love. Like Outlander. That's pretty fun. They'll sacrifice him like they did with the blue man, which is our cop hanging from the crucifix. Malachi gets up and starts yelling, praise God, praise the Lord. And they all start raising their sickles and other weapons into the air. It's a scary fucking town, to be honest. Bert and Vicky finally arrive in Catlin. No, drive on, bitch. Drive the fuck on. Bert and Vicky finally arrive in Gatlin and it's a ghost town because they murdered everyone. They pull up to the cafe where totally full of ghosts. They pull up to the cafe where Job witnessed his dad being murdered and the place is covered in corn husks. Some pretty shitty decorating from the kids, if you ask me though. I was a bit like, bit shit.
I was like, this is a mess. Like you've got cute little DIY cross corn things.
Yeah.
But you know,
and it was all like
corn nicely in a diner.
Looked a bit shit. So it's Bert and Vicky looking around. A few of the kids are going through their car and run off once Bert yells out. They try and chase after the kids but don't reach them and decide to head on to the next town, finally. But Bert sees a door open to a house and decides to investigate because he's a fucking moron. He's just such a douche. Our mate Vicky's on the money when she says there's something off about the tie-arm, but he's a big, strong doctor man, so he has to investigate. They enter the house and finally find a phone, but the line has been cut again. They also find a TV guide that is 3 years old. Apparently the delivery guy got the memo about all the adults being murdered in town, so stop deliveries. Like, I didn't really get this bit. I was just like, wouldn't they have kept, like, delivering them? And then wouldn't someone from out of town realize the entire town is missing adults?
Yeah.
There's a lot of holes in this, but, like, let's not get into
it. Like, how many times did you say, oh, my mom's just ducked out. Like, oh, dad's just in the bathroom.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. He's been there for 3 years. He's unwell. Bert heads upstairs and finds Sarah's drawing. So then hear music and run into the room where Sarah's playing with her record player. They ask where her parents are, and she informs them that they're in the cornfields. All the adults are there because Isaac put them there as he's the leader of everybody. Vicky asks Sarah to take them to Isaac, but she doesn't want to because he's scary. Bert gets all mad about things taking too long, so he decides to go into town and leave Vicky with Sarah. I'm like, dumb idea, doctor. Like, what the fuck, Dr. Bert?
What's up?
Yeah, super dumb. As Bert leaves, Sarah tells Vicky that she is drawing but isn't allowed because Malachi says so. Vicky says she can draw and it will be their little secret. As Bert is exploring the seemingly empty town, Malachi and a few of the other kids take weapons to the house of Vicky and Sarah are in. They're armed with hooks, cleavers, and sickles, and it's not looking fucking great for these two. Sarah's now finished her drawing and shows it to Vicky. It's supposed to be a portrait of her, but she's fucking horrified. Before we get to see the drawing, she hears a noise and goes to investigate, because that's what they do. She finds a bunch of hooligans with weapons and asks them what they want. I'd be getting the fuck out of there. I wouldn't be like, hey, guys, what's going on?
What's up, too? Can I join?
Yeah, hey, girl, what's that? Like, that's a fucking sickle, and you're going to die. Malachi, nice pitchfork. That's stunning. Malachi responds, we want to give you peace, which is not great. Like, no. He doesn't look like a Buddhist, and they're all carrying fucking weapons, so I'd be like,
oh, and by peace, I mean chop you up into pieces.
Oh, that's a good one. She runs upstairs and tried to lock herself and Sarah into a room, but they have axes and bust the door down. They drag her out of the room as little Sarah covers her ears. We then look down and see the drawing that Sarah did. It was a group of kids holding knives and dragging Vicky away to the clearing where the blue man is currently hanging. Bert enters the town hall to try and find some adults or a phone that works, and Job runs into the building after him. Bert finds corn husks all over the building and a weird portrait of a man, as well as a drawing of a blonde lady being burned by a fire-breathing dragon. And that's, I'm like, for some reason, this is so fucking weird. And for some reason, this triggers a thought of Vicky, and he bolts. He's like, oh, Vicky, and then runs. Oh, God, this town's got dragons. Better go get Vicky. Like, I just didn't get this. I'd be keen if this town had dragons. I'd be like, fuck yeah.
Yeah.
He arrives back at the house to find just Sarah. So shakes her and yells at her until she tells him what happened. I'm like, this guy is not great with kids.
No.
Like, Not at all. I mean,
the more I shake the child, I'm sure the more honest she'll be.
I'm sure she'll relax and tell me what's going on if I shake her. She points at her drawing and he runs downstairs. The cornstalks bend to allow him in and he runs off into the cornfields. And I was like, sure. So if a fucking forest, say the trees leaned over and they're like, welcome, I'd be like, cool, bitch, thanks, and walk in. Like, you're not doing that. You're going to be like, I'll
go. Would you
around.
Say that you would walk through the trees?
Oh, my God. Yes, Jennifer's body through the trees. What
yes,
is up?
Continuing to reference in every podcast episode.
I love it. I love it. Meanwhile, Vicky's being tied to a new crucifix as Isaac tells Malachi that he who walks behind the rose is mad at him for killing Joseph without a sacrifice and murdering the old man while the gas and oil was still useful to them. Malachi is in the bad books. He's bad. We know he's a bad one. As Vicky's looking, kids yell, kill. I know. Well, yeah, it does. And he's like, creepy face. As Vicky's lifted, the kids yell, kill, 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 as they stab toward her with pitchforks. Abed is now at the church and enters just before the kids are about to drink the blood of Amos, which is one of the older boys of Gatlin. He's carved a pentagram on his chest, which is like a Satanist reference, not a Christian reference. So it's a
I didn't really understand where that came from. I was like, wait, did you guys just steal another, like, cult's symbol?
They're just kind of in there. Oh my God, that would have taken ages, though, let's be honest. All those little kernels. Like, he would have been dead before he got halfway through the corn cob. He'd be like, bled out. I think they're just taking iconography from wherever the fuck they feel like it. They're just like, we just take all the things and make that. Yeah, exactly. This doesn't seem cool. They could have done like just a big heart or whatever. They could have done anything. Anyway, they did a pentagram. So he covered his chest and filled a county like art fair corn cup with his blood as part of his sacrifice to he who walks behind the rose. The church is now covered in corn husks and all religious artworks have been collaged over with cutout lips and eyes, and it's a little Picasso cubism period, and I'm pretty into it. Like, it looks pretty cool.
I just again was this is super random.
It is very random, but I guess they're kids, they like collage.
They're not allowed to do like drawings and art and stuff.
Oh, maybe they're allowed to do drawings and art and stuff if it's like for their he who walks behind the rose. Yeah, exactly. Cool. So the young girl standing at the altar and about to drink the blood of the sacrifice yells to the others to hold the outlander, but he's a big, strong doctor man, so easily pushes the kids to the ground. He demands to know what's going on, and Amos says it's a rite of passage, it's my birthday, to which Dr. Burt responds, you've got a pretty sick way of celebrating it, pal. It's like fucking hilarious. Like, the lines in this for this guy are so shit. I love it. As the young girl threatens him with talking to the one in charge, Bert says that he would be that would be fantastic, and he'd like to discuss the medical side of what's going on here, because remember, he's a doctor.
Hey, guys, just in case you didn't know, I'm a doctor. Do you want to discuss this medically?
Hey, guys, you want to see my lighter? It says right here, I'm a doctor. So the young girl tells one of the other kids to run and get Isaac. She changes her mind and tells him, actually, bring Malachi. Everyone gasps when we now know that everyone thinks Malachi is a dick. As Bert throws around a holy Bible and grabs a scroll with the self-sacrificed kids' names on it, he wants to know why they died so young and is told that they go to him. As the little boy runs back in to say that Malachi is coming, Bert is distracted and the young girl at the altar stabs him in the chest. He takes the dagger from his chest, threatens the kids with it, and runs off with his glorious blonde locks flowing in the wind, followed closely by a church full of murderous kids. Kids corner him and they fucking like it too. They've been like, they're fit kids. The kids corner him and Malachi yells outlander as Bert runs off again. Malachi enters the building where Bert's hiding, takes out his knife, and is hit in the shins by Bert. Bert turns slowly to leave and runs straight into like a metal wheel rim on a post and smashes his doctor face.
Oh, when that happened, literally my comment in my notes was, ha ha ha, when he hit that pole.
I know. Correct. It is funny when he hit the pole. It was just so dumb because he was so slow as well. The dumbest shit. I was just like, because he knew he had to run into it, I guess, in the script. So he's just like, I don't want to hurt my beautiful face, so I better ease up. As Bert's trying to escape, he comes across Job, who tries to help by hiding him in a basement with Sarah. Bert finds a first aid kit with the ease and swiftness of a real-life doctor, and Sarah helps patch him up as Isaac and Malachi get into a shouting match over who's best friends with he who walks behind the rose. Malachi is a lot bigger than Isaac and pushes him to the ground. This act of defiance has pissed off Isaac, but Has swayed the murderous children that he is the big dog now. Malachi orders them to remove Vicky from the crucifix and place Isaac there instead. They'll use Vicky as bait to get out Outlander Bert. Malachi screams for Outlander to come and get his woman and cuts her face, so she screams for Bert. So this bit when they cut her face and then the next, like the kind of next angle, she had no cut on her face, and then we went back to another angle, she had the cut on her face. She like that really makes me annoyed, but I really have to like let it go in an 80s movie. I'm just like,
we love consistency, just, but we have some leniency for 80s. Yes.
Yeah, if it's made in the 80s,
we get it, was a little bit harder.
We get it. Cool. I lost my place because I was too rowdy about where the fuck she was up to. So yeah, she screams, but where Bert is, he can't hear this, obviously, because he's in a fucking basement. And then he runs into the clearing with Job and Sarah instead. The kids take Bert to the top of a barn where they open the little chicken door thing, you know, at the top of barns. Is that for chickens?
I don't know. I've always wondered what that's for. Like, I'm like, what can possibly need to like, fall out the roof of a barn?
But I guess owls. Oh, I guess you could chuck hay. You'd store, like, hay up there and chuck it out. I would like to think it's where, like, you could open it up and owls can come and live. But I don't think that's right
at all. I mean, I don't think I've ever seen, like, a barn full of owls. But, you know, a girl can dream.
Yeah, well, I guess it's, like, mice and shit in there and then have to have owls in to, like, get the mice.
Disney movie.
I've overthought this. Like, yeah, I've got very Snow White in here. That's not what happened.
Now starts singing. So-
It's so
everyone
cute.
Everyone lives happily ever after, just like his wish.
Exactly. So they open up this chicken door, whatever it is, so they can see right across the cornfields where Bert sees where Vicky's being held. So it seems as though Malachi has given up trying to find him anyway, as we're now with Amos and the other kids from the church getting ready to sacrifice Amos. So he was, like, looking for Bert, and I was like, I don't know where he is. Let's just go back and sacrifice this guy. Like, that's cool. So while this is happening, Isaac is screaming his little head off to get cut down, or they will feel his wrath. Nobody's listening to Isaac, though. His reign of hipster hat-wearing terror seems to be over. Bert has finally made it to the clearing. You like that one?
Yeah.
Bert has finally made terror. It to the clearing. Which has taken him hours to walk, apparently a couple of hundred meters, because it's fucking dark now, even though it was like daylight when he looked out the chicken door in the barn. Whatever, it's fine. As Isaac is still looking distressed about being up on the crucifix, we hear some odd noises, and Amos lets everyone know that he's ready to be taken by the Lord. He begins to walk into the cornfield, and a large mound of dirt rises from the underground and travels towards Amos, kind of like in Tremors and Krampus. Do you remember the whole, like,
Underneath
so good. Creepy music plays. The soil continues to move underground as the worst special effects ever happen. Soil moving. That was actually really good. The soil moving was good. The special effects that come after this, so shit. So a weird late night TV snow screen kind of like staticky graphic, highlighted yellow and then red, moves up Isaac's body as he screams and begs for his life. Instead of sparing him, he who walks behind the rose blows up the crucifix's foundations and shoots it up into the air like a rocket. And that's the end of that CGI. I think, fuck, it was so bad.
Honestly, at this point, I was like, oh, the corn is like a real thing. I thought that was just like made up, like all the kids were worshipping the corn and it doesn't actually do anything, but damn.
No, it's a thing. It's a thing. Bert
takes his opportunity. I told you at the start, the name is hard.
I know. It's a toughie. He takes this opportunity to rescue Vicky and punch Malachi out. As Bert tries to lecture the kids on good and bad religion, I was just like, bitch, you've got to, I don't think you have a really captive audience, eh? Malachi gets back up and attacks Bert. They wrestle and Bert bitch slaps him until he passes out. And then he throws a knife at Malachi's body. He misses on purpose, proving his point about love and kindness, and walks off, all triumphant and shit. I was just like, what the fuck is this? Weird.
Where are you going? Fucking
weird life lesson at the end of a horror movie. No, thank you very much. Malachi screams for the other kids to get him, but they just slowly start to walk off. That is until we hear a creepy voice yell, Malachi! And it's our hipster Isaac, back from the dead. He's not looking good and is clearly possessed by something. He says that he who walks behind the rose wants him too. He grabs Malachi's neck and just snaps it. It's like the end of Malachi. I kind of wanted it to be a bit more dramatic. Like, I wanted something else to happen.
I know.
But he just was
meant to be like, you know, the new leader. He was fierce. He was dramatic.
Yeah.
It's
just like, snap a neck. Okay. So Bert sees this and just runs off with the other kids as a storm approaches. He just legs it. Hey, he's like, fuck this. And just kind of like, He's like, fucking every kid to themselves.
You get stuck.
Yeah, you guys are shit anyway. As the doors and windows start blowing off the building, Bert instructs Job to get someone to close the barn doors as he stays with Vicky and Sarah. As they discuss running away or trying to hurt the monster, Bert settles on hurting it, but he literally has no fucking idea how to do it. Lucky for him, Job knew that the blue man was trying to hurt it by reading a page from the Bible that Job just happens to have on him. With the passage fucking highlighted. The passage reads...
convenient. And the you didn't try so that convenient. Out.
No, I know. I'm like, bitch, they just had to like do all this crazy shit. And you're like, oh, I've got this piece of paper. The passage reads, and the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone where the beast and the false prophet are and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. Bert is trying to decipher what this means when Vicky has done it. Fire. Fire is what it means. He's going to burn the field. I was like, fucking geniuses. Like... didn't our smart-ass doctor figure this out? No? Uh-huh. Okay, great.
He's too busy with Vicky doctor knowledge.
Yeah, Vicky needed a line anyway. As Vicky and Bert try to hook up the house to the fuel tanks conveniently located in the barn they're hiding in.
I was like, what?
Mate, I don't know. They're normally not in a building because if those things go up, then your whole fucking building goes up. Like, anyway.
Very convenient.
Very convenient. So Bert also fills up a bottle to make a Molotov cocktail but needs a rag. So Vicky tears Job's little vest and throws that to Bert as Job says, hey, that's not a rag. And now one of only three items of fucking clothing that Job owns is completely ruined. I was just like, there's so much out of the shit in this fucking barn. You're just like, take this child's clothing. Like, just... okay. As Bert turns to leave, she's so mean. I was just like, bitch, that's fucking rude. As Bert turns to leave to burn down the fields, Vicky says, Bert, be careful. To which Bert responds, I love you, Vicky. And it's so fucking dramatic and lame. Like, I know. Oh my God, she's so thirsty for a proposal. Bert is taking the hose into the cornfields when he's attacked by the corn itself. Job saves him and Bert tells him to get back to the barn now. Job replies, oh, excuse me. And I was like, you little fucking cute. Like, he saved his life. And he's getting so much sass from Bert. So Bert finally puts the hose into the irrigation pump and pumps it full of gas that then starts sprinkling all over the field. Job is still there, luckily, as our medical doctor, Bert, didn't know how to get this pump started. So Bert and Job light the Molotov cocktail and Bert throws it super shit because he's a doctor and not a fucking baseball player. And Job has to run, pick it up for Bert, and then bring it back to him so he can throw it again, but right this time. Bert throws it right into the fuel, the sprinkler, and the field goes up in flames. We see some more super shit CGI as he who walks behind the rose dies, or at least leaves this particular cornfield.
And you know what that looks like? That terrible CGI. I wrote down the cloud looks like a butthole and a fart. Like, that's what it looks like. That's what the CGI gave me.
Skull wasn't. I got a skull out of it. I got a shitty flame and a skull out of that.
I'm sure it was much more meant to look like that, but
I much prefer yours.
Yeah, I just saw a hole in the farm.
I need to rewatch that.
You watch it again. You'll see it.
I will. I'm gonna watch it just for the butthole clouds. I'm watching it. Whatever, something dies, something leaves, whatever. Bert, Vicky, Job, and Sarah are running away from the scene as Job asks, is he dead? To which Bert replies, I think so. So Job slows down and asks, then why are we running? And I was like, this kid. Yes. They finally arrive at the car to find it taken over by corn husks. Bert says that they will walk to the next town, and Vicky asks, are you sure you're strong enough? And I really wanted Bert to be all like, baby, I'm stronger than you think. I'm a goddamn doctor. But he says, I'm okay. And I'm like, fucking hell, let me do
such
right
a letdown. It was such a letdown. I'm like, okay.
I'm like, bitch, you're supposed to be all like, fucking, I got this, bitch. Like, I just fucking conquered a demon. Yeah, like, no, he's just like,
pick her up and carry her to the next town.
Yeah, carry her, bitch.
No, girl, kiss and here. I'm okay.
It's just the dumbest. The kiss and the kids laugh hysterically. Bert is super weird and asks if they're jealous. And I was like, what? What of?
Weird 80s vibe.
Yeah. Ew, he's like that Uncle Bert you have to, like, avoid. He's not great. And then he asks if the kids would like to live with them for a while, so now they have fucking kids, I guess. Bert jumps in the car to get the map, and Little Miss Ultra Crazy pops up from the back seat with a sickle in hand. Bert dodges her, jumps out of the car, and as she tries to escape after him, Vicky slams the door into her face, knocking her out cold.
I love that. This bit.
I was like, welcome, Vicky. Welcome to the fucking party. Like, yes. Thank you for contributing.
Nice of you to show up.
I know. As Bert is a doctor, he's a little worried about it and asks what they should do now. Vicky says, we'll send her a get well. Yeah, just fucking leave the bitch. Vicky says, we'll send her a get well soon for card from Seattle. Let's get the hell out of here. And they walk off with the kids. The end.
And they lived happily That's ever it. After.
Did they? Because it's like
I don't know. I haven't seen the other seven movies.
Classic. Sorry, what were your overall thoughts, mate?
Okay.
I know, it's the first time for you.
Look, it was better than I thought it would be because there were parts of it that took me by surprise. Like, it wasn't the kind of movie that I thought it was going to be. It got into it super quickly. Like, they were quite intense with all the adult killing.
Yeah, that was.
You know, the whole swap between, like, Isaac and Malachi. Mm-hmm. Didn't see that coming. There were a couple of little, jump scares in there. Yeah. And honestly, the thing that took me by surprise the most was just the corn devil thing actually was real.
Like, yeah.
I just thought this was a bunch of kids. Yeah, that definitely took me by surprise. I just thought this was a bunch of kids, like, worshipping a made-up corn god, but turned out to be a proper thing. So, mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I was pleasantly surprised. Like, it's still an 80s movie. It's still got, like, bad effects and everything, but it's... Yeah. It's what you would expect from, like, the filming style, but the actual content itself, I was happy with. Surprised.
Good.
What about you?
Good one. Well, yeah, I haven't seen this one since I was a teenager, which is longer than I'd like to admit. So it was kind of fun watching this one again. I forgot a lot of the stuff. I was just like, oh, fuck, that's right. And then, like, I forgot Linda Hamilton's in it, but I think Terminator and stuff came well after this for me when I saw it. It was, like, a different kind of thing. I don't know. It was pretty fun. It was pretty, pretty fun. But I still think, like, I always thought Isaac looked old when I was a kid. Like, when I watched this first, I was just like, that guy looks old. Like, shouldn't he be dead? And, like, seeing it now, I'm like, that guy, he's 24. Like, he is. He is way older than 18 or whatever. And the carving of old mate's, like, obviously manly chest. Like, this kid's
there's
a very
hair on there.
18.
Like, come on.
Right? He's a buff 18 too. He was fucking fit. I was like, I'm sorry. What has he been doing? I guess they work on the farm and they have to do corn things. He'd be pretty.
I don't know. It kind of reminds me of, like, when I, back in the day when I did, like, Red Frogs at schoolies. So we got, like, assigned to a hotel. And, we were going in, like, introducing ourselves to, like, each of the kids that we were kind of, like, there to look after if they needed us. And we rock up at this one room, and these guys are like, come in. And we walk in. There are three, I swear, grown-ass dudes in there with full beards and stuff, like, full hair. Yeah. And I was just like, you ain't a schoolie. And they were like, yes, we are. We've got the bands. Yeah, that's that situation. None of them had pentagrams on their chest that I know.
Well, that's good. Because that would have been. Save.
Yes. But, yeah.
Crazy. All right. So, best death.
Best death was the evil corn butt death. I just can't top it. What was yours?
Mine was the multiple murders in the diner in the very beginning. So when all of the adults got, like, slaughtered.
Best slaughter.
Slaughter. But yeah, it was scary. This movie was scary for me when I first saw it. I remember getting the creeps watching it because I don't know.
I think hand down the grinder was pretty intense.
Oh yeah, it's pretty crazy. Yeah, I think it's just murderous kids get me every time. I'm always a bit like,
no, they tend to do that.
Little fuckers. What was the best line for you?
I struggled with this one because there weren't that many great lines. Like, it wasn't a movie that stood out being like, ah, not fun. This is a great line. So I just chose when old mate doctor came in and was like, you've got a pretty sick way of celebrating, pal. Because I was like, that's your response?
Birthday. Yeah, he's so dumb.
What's your favorite line?
Mine was, don't ever show up in my emergency room, buddy, when he was talking to the guy. Remember when old mate was dead. Yeah.
Emergency room, like, just in case you forgot I'm a doctor.
I'm a doctor. Yeah. Fucking annoying.
Look at my ladder. It says it on
there. Yeah, I love that he's got nothing else to say. That. I'm a doctor. cool. What was your rating?
My rating was 2.5 out of 5 evil cornfields.
Love it.
I was like,
love it.
It's a bit more than a 2 because it took me a surprise. But overall, like, it's still, it's an older movie and I'm never going to rate. I'm like, it's going to be hard for me to rate an older movie, like, above 3, just because movies these days are so good. So
Especially because you've got no, like, nostalgic hang-ups on it.
It's not like you know, like the first horror movie I ever saw was like Freddy vs. Jason. So
exactly. Yeah.
Different kind of movie.
Yeah, that's your old reference. Mm. Which is
what was your rating?
So in the 90s, I would have given this 4 out of 5 because it was a scary one, or 4.5 even. Like, I thought it was pretty creepy. Today, like, what year are we? 2020, the year that we never spoke about. fucking asshole year. Today, 2.5 out of 5 corn crucifix.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I just don't know if it just didn't super hold up for me.
Yeah.
That's all. It's fun. And if you haven't seen it before, it's kind of like a fun one to check out, but like, don't expect it to blow your tiny little minds.
It's like a good one to watch while you're doing the ironing or some other activity where
you don't have to pay full attention. Well, I think like all the crazy really happens like right in the beginning anyway.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Like, when I was remembering it, I felt like that scene went for the whole movie. Like, when I was kind of like, that's how I felt about the movie, that Children of the Corn was just like these kids just murdering a fuckload of adults for the whole movie. But it really happened for like 4 minutes. And then the rest of it was like, you know, corn.
You'd be pissed, wouldn't you, if you're an adult living in that town that didn't have any kids? Like, it's just like, come on.
I didn't even contribute to these motherfuckers, and now I'm murdered. Yeah, that's true. They're like, this is why we didn't have kids. Yeah, that's very true, actually, because we knew they'd murder you. Yeah, she's a weirdie. She's an oldie, though. An oldie. I was wondering what you'd think of it. Yeah. I was like, fuck, I remember it was pretty lame in a lot of places. I was like, sorry, Larissa.
No, I think I like the fact that it took me by surprise. Like, yeah.
Good one. That's good. Awesome. Okay, cool. So that's it for this one. Oh, cool. So rate, review, subscribe, all the things.
Yes. Follow us on the Thosh. I'm sure someone can work calls at that.
ew, on the Thosh.
It was Z, like the Thosh. Same with a bit of a French accent.
Like French? Yeah, okay, I get it.
Yeah. Someone in France said that once, I'm sure.
Probably, I don't know. Okay, that's it.
Bye.
Thank you so much. Bye.